three bills on our agenda today. We'll jump around. We're kind of waiting for Senator Strader, so we'll jump back to his bill when he arrives. So to start us off with, I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Joint Memorial 12. And Mr. Olson, if you'd remind us about the memorial.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Joint Memorial 12 urges Congress to amend the No Child Left Behind Act of 2001 to provide for a waiver and adequate federal funding. That's the bill. There is a -3 amendment before you, which has a consensus one with the original chief sponsor of the measure, Senator Vakian, and it deletes many of the whereas clauses. And I spell that out in staff measure summary. This was passed, it was sent without recommendation from the subcommittee to the full committee pending the amendment. So it was before the amendments were ready. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Members, if you recall, some of the concern was brought forth by the Department of Education that the memorial was not fully accurate. The intent of the amendment was to make sure that anything we send out from our chamber is an accurate statement. Senator Vakian is comfortable with amending the memorial down. And is there any questions on the -3 amendments? Just looking through the paperwork there.
Shuffling games.
I'm trying to find my bill.
Well,
in discussion, I'd be happy to make a comment if we're at that point.
Kind enough to move the -3s, make a motion on -3s.
I would be honored. Chair Buckley and committee members, I move the -3 amendments to Senate Joint Memorial 12.
Vice Chair Comp has moved the -3 amendments to Senate Joint Memorial 12. Discussion, Representative Greenlick.
No, I'll talk about the bill itself, although I do have to say voluminous is a big word.
That's a astute comment.
We'll just pass
with that, I'm going to temporarily close the work session. Objections to the amendments, or do you want more time on the amendments, John?
Objections to the amendments.
Now, that completely replaces the substance of the bill.
It replaces lines 4 through 31.
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Dahm, it essentially deletes several of the whereas clauses.
Suppose we started down that trail.
Right, and it's similar to what you were working on, just tweaked it a little bit more after consultation with Senator Vakian. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Just to say, as I read it, it deletes all of the whereas clauses and puts in just what's here, and then on the back page deletes everything except the final paragraph.
7 through 16 on page 2.
Right. Mr. Chair, Representative Roland, the reason why I said it deletes some of them is because some of the ones it puts back in are identical to the ones that are up there. So there's no new language being added. It's just existing language being deleted.
Yep. Are there any objections to the -3 amendments? Hearing none, the bill is so amended. I'm going to close the work session on Senate Joint Memorial 12 and open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 336. Mr. Olson, would you be so kind as to give us a synopsis?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 336 removes the provision providing that school capacity cannot be the sole basis for approval or denial of a residential development application unless the application involves changes to a local government comprehensive plan or land use regulations. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Senator Schrader, welcome back to the House Community Education.
That's great to be back again, sir. I appreciate the invitation. For the record, I'm Kurt Schrader, State Senator, Senate District 20, and the author of Senate Bill 336. It's a very simple bill to cut to the chase on it. Basically, the goal that I have with this bill is to put schools on an equal footing with other public infrastructures that are necessary necessary to be considered before a development application can be approved. In other words, if I'm on the planning commission like I was for 16 years, and I'm supposed to say yay or nay with conditions on a development proposal, I usually have to solicit input from all the different public infrastructure providers in the area. I get feedback from the sewer people, the water people, the electric people, the telephone, everybody. And if any one of those indicates to me as a planning commissioner that I can't, you know, supply the necessary infrastructure for that particular development, then the planning commission has the opportunity, as does the city council, say, well, we better not approve the development at this time, because we cannot supply the necessary infrastructure. That is true for sewer, water, transportation, you name it. That's not true for schools. Schools used to be considered a key piece of public infrastructure until 1995, when the law was changed. And unfortunately, I think it was a bad mistake. And it was one of the reasons I ran for the state legislature in 1997. So I think it's time to put schools back in the equation, not as an extra partner, but as an equal partner. You'll notice that in the language in the bill, because it covers that particular statute, this is not declaring a moratorium because schools are filled or, you know, some rogue superintendent assumes things are inadequate. This merely says that schools can be a sole criteria for denying development, just like other public infrastructure, if it appears to be overwhelmed and not able to supply the necessary services. So that's the gist of the bill, very simple bill, just trying to restore a little equity and fairness, make sure our schools are able to handle the new things coming down the pike in terms of development, and would hope that committee and chair would entertain a favorable disposition of this bill.
Thank you, Senator. Members have questions.
Comment?
Representative Greenland.
This is absolutely critical. In fact, if Senator Schrader would let me, I'd like to join him as a sponsor on this. The Beaverton School District, which is about half of my district, is just gets killed, and it has no way to deal with the question. If it's a large enough subdivision, it's possible to work out some negotiations as they have with the recent one, but basically it just stands by as a helpless victim of development without having any say in it. This is so much common sense. I'm sorry it took Senator Schrader 10 years to make it happen, but I just think it's absolutely time to be doing this. It makes just so much sense.
Thank you, Senator. Senator
Dolan. Yes, I'm going to ask Senator Schrader for you to go back to your planning commission times. When the community asks for an extension of the urban growth boundary, are schools part of the consideration when that request is made?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, usually that's a community decision. That's a legislative action, you know, to expand the urban growth boundary, amend the comprehensive plan, that sort of thing. Then I would hope the whole community would be engaged and be a legislative hearing. Right now, for this particular type of issue that we're talking about, it's a quasi-judicial hearing, and so it's made on criteria, basis in fact, these sorts of issues, and I'm trying to get a little equity restored in that criteria. I'm not sure that gets to your question, sir, but...
Thank you.
Representative Rillen.
Thank you.
The answer is clear.
I guess I'll pose this as a statement and a comment, but I mean, the real issue over the last 15 years is that we have urban growth going, and we find that we have no place for schools in these boundaries, because I think in part this was taken out, and so they knew in the judicial review it wasn't going to be an issue. Therefore, they didn't have to really worry about it too much. And so we ended up, time and time again, we have school districts coming to the legislature asking for exemptions for schools to be placed out in outside the UGB, in the farmland, in forest land, wherever they can be, because there really hasn't been any really good planning about where the school is going to be in the place that we expect it to be. And it is part of the UGB planning, but they know there's no judicial, there's really, the way the law has been the last 10 years, there's no real way to make it a requirement for that. So from my perspective, this is a good bill. It adds to the whole idea that UGBs were developed to include this as a consideration, but they excluded it from the real meat of the matter, as they didn't exclude a couple of the other things like the development of water and sewers. Is that
That's correct, sir, in my opinion, sir.
Thank you, Senator. Resident Bill.
I think the reason that we left, if there was a reason, was that if you build it, they'll come. You get the people here, we'll find a place for the school. And at one point in time, I think that might have made some sense. I'm not sure it makes any sense at all now. And with that, I will be supporting this bill.
Thank you, Representative. Senator, there's been discussion of amendments to the bill that apparently are not ready yet. And your thoughts on any possible amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Yes, I've had a chance to briefly review some suggested amendments. There's a lot in there that I like, to be quite frank with you, and I think adds value along the lines of what Representative Vogling is talking about. But there's a little question about the last part of that amendment, and would like some time to work with some of the progenitors of that amendment to see if we can't just make it all perfect for your consideration, sir.
I appreciate that, and I'm hoping to hold this over until next Wednesday, if that would work for you.
I think it would be excellent.
Do you have a copy of proposed amendments?
We don't have a copy of proposed amendments. We do have some folks working on the amendments. I don't know if you want to talk about the amendments now or want to wait.
Probably not prepared to at this point.
Very sure, sir.
Senator, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for the opportunity. Always. Unless the advocates want to talk about the amendments now, we can wait till Wednesday and we hold over. So that'd be fine by me, and I think it'd be fine by the committee. And we will wait to Wednesday on a discussion of the amendments, and I'll go ahead and close the work session on or the public hearing.
Yeah, sorry, culprit, huh?
Mm-hmm. Public hearing on Senate Bill 336. And let's go ahead and open up the work session on Senate Bill 214A.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 214A requires public charter schools operated by school districts to be nonprofit organizations. It requires all new or existing public charter schools that are operated by school districts to meet this requirement if they open or renew charters after July 1st, 2007. It exempts one school district, declares emergency, takes effect July 1st, 2007. The committee has before it three proposed amendments that are not mutually exclusive. In other words, any one, two, or all three could be adopted by the committee without it being a problem. The A3 amendment adds ORS 657, Employment Department Law, to the list of laws that apply to public charter schools. This comes at the request of the Employment Department and corrects some technical oversight in the law. Mr. Chair, the committee had already adopted this amendment during the work session on the previous bill. The previous work session on this bill. If we need to, we could do that again for the record. The A4 amendment comes after discussion with Representative Dom and specifically exempts schools in remote and necessary school districts from the nonprofit requirement in the bill. And the A5 amendment has a little more explaining. It basically requires that administrators in public charter schools be licensed or registered to administer by the Teachers Standards and Practices Commission, and it adds a public charter school administer registry to join that of the teacher registry. It allows the TSPC to charge a $75 fee for registration or renewal of registration, and allows the TSPC to require that public charter school teachers and administrators furnish evidence of good moral character and other aspects. This is very similar to the existing provisions for teachers and administrators in schools, so in other words, and not in charter schools. It also allows the TSPC to not register an administrator at a charter school if they've been convicted of a range of crimes listed in the statute. Also authorizes them to suspend or revoke the registration of a public charter school teacher or administrator based on criteria set in the law. And then it goes on to discuss how the hearings would go and authorize TSPC to require fingerprints of a public charter school administrator requesting registration. They're listed in your staff measure summaries, the A5 amendment. They are now the A6 amendment because there was a slight technical overlap. There's no substantive changes, but the A6 now replaces the A5 just to not have any conflicts with another law that's going into effect. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Members, I can't recall whether we adopted the A3 amendments to this or not for the employment department, so with your indulgence, if we're repeating the process, let's go ahead and repeat that. Entertain a motion on the A3s.
Mr. Chair.
Vice Chair Comp.
I move that we adopt the dash A3 amendments to SB 214A. Is it already? Yeah.
Vice Chair Comp has moved the dash A3 amendments to Senate Bill 214A. Is there discussion of the dash 3?
These are technical fixes.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so amended. Representative Dolan, do you want to move the dash 4?
Chair Buckley, I move the dash 4 amendment to Senate Bill 214.
Representative Dolan has moved the dash 4 amendment to Senate Bill 214A. Any discussion? Any objection? So amended. Now, with the dash 6 we're going for here, Ms. Willow Whalen, would you come forward and talk us through, and can I get a motion to start us off with a motion?
Mr. Chair?
Vice Chair Comp.
I move the A6 amendments to Senate Bill 214A.
Vice Chair Comp moves the A6 amendments to Senate Bill 214A. Discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Lee.
What's the difference is dash A5 or dash A6?
Mr. Wilson.
Can you explain to me again?
Yes. Mr. Chair, Representative Lim, they are identical with one small difference. There had to be a conflict change in Section 12 of the A5 amendment conflicted with a law that we passed early on in the session having to do with the background checks and fingerprints. And because the ORS statute is being changed, they had to change what the citation would be. So it's a technical, it's not a substantive change. In all other respects, they're identical. So this is at the request of Legislative Council just to prevent a conflict.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Ms. Morrow, welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. For your record, Lori Wimmer Whalen, representing the Oregon Education Association. We are very grateful to you for considering these amendments, the A6 amendments to Senate Bill 214A. As you've heard from your committee administrator, we are trying to true up the legal and moral requirements for teachers and administrators at charter schools who are currently unlicensed with those who are. Simply put, that everybody will have the same understanding about their conduct in charter schools, whether they be licensed or registered. We found in our travels on this issue and on a related bill that there's a little loophole under current statutes that says that administrators may but do not have to be licensed in charter schools, but unlike unlicensed teachers, there is not a provision at this moment for them to be alternatively registered. Now, in my conversations with some of my colleagues who are involved with charter schools, apparently they often do so anyway because it's just good practice. So we don't think this is going to have an earthquake-type seismic effect, but it is on making sure that the laws are very clear that the expectation for children's safety is the same for all teachers and administrators, whether licensed, registered, or otherwise.
Thank you. Questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
I just want to make sure that you have consulted with a group of charter schools and that they support this bill, dash 6.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lim, I make it a practice never to speak for other people. I let them speak for themselves, but I think there is an advocate from the charter schools who's here, and I have consulted with her, but I'll let her tell you
what
she said.
Carmen, would you like to join us? This is for the work session here, and we can get your thoughts and answer Representative Lim's question.
Chair Buckley, members of the committee, my name is Karin Heikes. I'm with the Charter Schools Development Center, and we have reviewed, not the dash sixes, because we just saw those, we reviewed the others, and we absolutely support them. We, you know, our understanding of the legislative intent of the charter law is that any non-licensed teacher or administrator should be registered with TSBC. That's certainly how we have functioned. It's certainly how we have trained people in our workshops and our conferences and our consultation. I am aware of one charter school administrator who has refused to register. Okay, as far as I know, everybody else is registered. If they're not, I haven't heard about it. And I work with most of the charter schools in the state and with the other stakeholders. So we absolutely agree that charter school administrators who are not licensed need to be registered.
Thank you very much. Representative Wilbur.
Actually, that was the question I was going to have. And I think that we have been doing it by rule for the most part. That's my understanding. And I guess I can ask, we have been doing this by rule. PSPC has, I think, been trying to make sure all of these people are registered. And they do have rules. But this is statute, and it's much better, and it's the way we should do it. So that's...
Mr. Chair, Representative Wilbur, I think that the TSPC actually has submitted some testimony for your record in written form. She is unable to be here today, but it was because of her bringing the subject to light in other committees that we were asked to bring these forward.
It's not a question that we are going to adopt the dash 6, and even though you have not read it, some technical legal changes, I want to make sure you understand that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for the committee and the audience, for, since the dash 6 did literally, thanks to the hard work of LC who caught this, just came in. What it says on page 14 of the dash 6, in section 12, line 24, if House Bill 2047 becomes law, and again, that's the bill we passed eons ago, section 12 of this 2007 Act, amending ORS 181.539, is repealed, and ORS 342.223, as amended by such and such a law, is amended to read, and then there's just a one-word change on page 15, line 16, which is the exact same as in the previous bill, where it just adds in the word administrator. It's just changing the section of the ORS. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Further questions? Representative Dolan.
Question for Ms. Hikas, if I might. We talked about the number of charter schools that have administrators that aren't registered. How many did you say there were?
I'm aware of one administrator who is not registered. I believe that about 60% of our charter school administrators, based on a survey we did in February, 60% of them are licensed by PSPC.
And all the rest are registered, save one. What happens to that one if he's not registered by rule? What happens to him? And we have a rule that says they should be registered, then what happens?
As far as I know right now, what's happening is his district is urging him to register. And so is the Department of Education.
What happens if by law, my colleague, Representative Wilburn, has said the law affirms that regulation. What happens if by law he doesn't register?
I don't know. I would assume he'd be removed. I mean, what happens to a licensed teacher if, or a teacher in a public school who is not licensed? Not allowed to be there. Not allowed to be with children alone.
Why are they allowed to be there if we have the rule?
Well, I think the rule, if I could, the rule statute difference in my mind pertains less to the registration of administrators and more to the other pieces of the amendment. I believe that my understanding of rule, and I'm not an attorney, but I've reviewed the rules extensively, and my understanding is that TSPC currently has the authority in rule to deny or revoke a charter school teacher administrator registration based on all of the things that allow them to deny or revoke. So we're just moving them from rule to statute. The administrator registration piece, you know, honestly, we've always interpreted that to be that 50% of the, at least 50% of the teaching and administrative FTE must be licensed, and everybody who isn't needs to be registered. That's absolutely how. I've never heard, until this one administrator over the last few months, never heard of anyone in the charter school arena interpreting it differently. So I think it makes perfect sense to have that in statute.
Thank you. Further discussion on
your question.
Thank you very much. Further discussion on the amendment? Is there any objection to the dash 6 amendment? Hearing none.
I want to look at it a little more. I'm inclined to agree with Representative Goldman, but I'm wondering, I believe most of the provisions of this are covered in rule. And I want to be convinced myself that what we're doing is absolutely necessary.
Can I?
Where's that rubber?
You know, the part that's, I have always been a firm supporter of charter schools, and the issue for me is that these are statutes for teachers. They are statutes for administrators. They should be statutes for charter school. And I can't imagine why anybody would think that they should be able to say, I'm not going to register because I don't want to.
Right.
And we would think that's okay. I mean, these are our kids, and if we, and from my perspective, if you have it in rule, you're saying we have a lower standard than we have for the regular certified people. And for charter schools, I don't think that's right. I don't think the charter school movement wants that. I will tell you from my perspective that it's, anyway, so I would rather.
Can I ask Mr. Olson to read a little bit from Ms. Chamberlain's letter to us?
Just, committee members, before you have under the agenda is the copy of the memo from Vicki Chamberlain, the executive director of the Teacher Standards Practice Commission, who, as Ms. Wimmer Whalen mentioned, is unable to be here because of a pre-planned off-site meeting with the commission. She states in her memo, I'll quote it, the A5 amendments to Senate Bill 214 would give the Oregon Teacher Standards and Practice Commission the ability to deny a charter school registration for a teacher or administrator in the same circumstances they would deny a license. Current law. Current law only allows the commission to deny a charter school registry if the applicant has been convicted of a crime found in the attached information. And her memo attaches a variety of crimes. Continuing the quote, however, there is conduct not covered in the list of attached crimes for which the commission would deny licensure. So, just adding now my words, my reading of this is this equalizes the same grounds they can deny registration as they can deny licensure. And for that reason, my understanding is they, TSPC, believes this would be helpful.
Mr. Chair.
Do all of us have that memo?
Yes. Here, I'll give you another.
Ms. Monroe.
Yes, it's Mr. Chair, for your record also, on the Senate side on a related bill, it was the testimony of the executive director of the TSPC, which caused us to sit up in our chairs, that that whether licensed or registered, teachers in charter schools had to, could not be convicted of one of the heinous crimes, as she put it, but there were a whole subset of crimes for which licensed teachers were held liable that registered teachers were not. And administrators completely, none of those, according to Ms. Chamberlain. And she gave the example of prison internet porn, for example, at school, a crime for which a licensed teacher would not only lose his or her job, but also a license. But there would be no reach by TSPC for that behavior for an unregistered person under existing law. So that's the kind of thing we're trying to go after.
Thank you so much. I'll go ahead and ask a roll call then on the amendment. Andy?
Senator
Flynn?
Aye. I just received the memo, and I've been through anything. Mr. Chair, I would like to, on the face of it, I see everything. I did not hear the testimony from Vicki Chamberlain. I have no reason to question it wasn't there. And I don't know why I am just getting the memo now. It may be here. I have not read it. On the face of it, everything sounds good to me. I'm going to say aye because it sounds good, but I have not read the memo. So if I change my vote, you'll know why.
Thank you. Excuse?
Representative
Trumbull?
Aye.
Representative
Trumbull?
Aye.
Representative
Roblin?
Aye.
Representative Wissett?
Excuse.
Chair
Buckley?
Aye.
The
motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 214A to the House floor with a pass as amended recommendation.
Vice Chair Comp moves Senate Bill 214A to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation. Is there discussion? Hearing none, Andy, please call the roll.
Representative Greenwood?
Excuse.
Representative Trump?
Aye.
Representative Crummell?
Excuse.
Representative
Lim?
Aye.
Representative
Roblin?
Aye.
Representative Wissett?
Excuse.
Chair Buckley?
Aye. The motion carries. And, were the resident carried for a while? Representative Lim, would you be kind enough to carry this bill on the floor for us? Thank you. That's it. I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 214A. And members, we just have the memorial left to focus on, so I'll reopen the work session on Senate Joint Memorial 12. And when last we focused on this, we had adopted Dash 3 Amendment. And I will take a motion on the memorial so we can discuss it.
Mr. Chair?
Vice Chair Cobb?
I move SJM 12 to the House floor with it be adopted as amended recommendation.
Vice Chair Cobb moves Senate Joint Memorial 12 to the floor with a be adopt as amended recommendation. Discussion. Anyone is fine with our comments about No Child Left Behind? Very good. Then, Andy, would you be, please open the call to the roll?
Representative
Clem? Aye.
Representative
Ballum? Aye.
Representative
Greenlight? Excused.
Representative
Cox?
Aye.
Representative
Tumlin? Excused.
Representative
Lee? Aye.
Representative Roland?
Aye.
Representative
Wiggins? Excused.
Chair Buckley?
Aye. The motion carries, and Representative Ballum, would you please lay this on the floor for us?
Sure.
I'm sure you'll have things to say.
Sure.
No Child Left Behind. Members, thank you very much for your cooperation today, and I hope that you all have I'm going to close the work session on September 12. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. We have hearings on Monday and Wednesday. Next week, we really have a handful of bills. The one we didn't get to today because it's being amended, we'll be back with us on Wednesday. So we are on schedule to finish on time with our Senate bills, and I appreciate your help in getting that work done. Anything else for the good of the order? Hearing none, we are adjourned.